Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about dry cell batteries. You know them as most commonly AA batteries, the fire alarm batteries, the transistor batteries, those 9-volt batteries, or AAA batteries in our devices, the more slimline batteries. You buy them, you use them, you throw them away. Often people think a little bit about them, or they may not think at all about them. They're just something that we have. Now, in my history, I've been taught them, I suppose incorrectly at the end of the story, and I've gradually, over the years, understood how they work, but it hasn't really struck me that I had learnt them incorrectly at the first point. And I suppose the interesting aspect is that they were really a development from the mines of Volta, after which the volts are called. So I say a 9-volt battery. A volt is referred to a joule per coulomb. It's after this Italian person who made batteries out of a pile of different metals with cheesecloth and wetted salt cloth between these piles of different metals, and made some voltage. And has developed into our batteries. Still, the French call them a battery's a pile, because we used to call them a voltage pile. So the French went up that way, and we went up the other route, somehow calling them batteries. We call them batteries like that. And as I sort of said, there was sort of one of these misconceptions lurking in there, and it actually goes from a misconception the person who invented them had, and that's sort of gone and held in at schools and going ahead. And there's sort of a very subtle, easy way of actually understanding of what actually goes on. And this is my overall story with me, in terms of that I've sort of learnt them as best as I could, including the misconception, and over time I've studied other things or read other things, and that misconception has slowly dissolved, but I've not been aware of it. And then when I've come back and started doing these podcasts and looking into it, I've become little bit by little bit aware of these misconceptions. It's sort of like something, a sort of demon hiding in your house, and you can sort of sense it there, you can smell, and you walk around, and eventually you have to actually sort of get to a wall with a sledgehammer and lift it open. And sort of like, I suppose in Australia we have possums, something a favourite export to New Zealand, but we had a situation where the possums could actually enter our house and actually go down and actually enter the walls, and you eventually had to actually leave the walls open to see inside. And there's a famous YouTube videos of the smell inside the house and these people opening up and removing dead possums from inside the house. So in a sense, this is an idea which I was taught slightly incorrect, and it's a bit of a dead possum which I've gone to and understood. And this is how the batteries were explained. So essentially, there's this thing that you can make a battery. Essentially, the simplest form of battery you can do is just a single piece of iron, an iron nail. And if you put an iron nail in a flame, the temperature electrons will take flight from the flame, and the cold end of the nail will be negatively charged. And of course, you can't have two iron nails both negatively charged. It's like trying to get the current up with the batteries just only from the negative end of batteries. This is a thermoelectric effect. You have to actually get two wires of different materials. And if you've got wires of different materials, yeah, sure, you can actually put just two different metals connected in a flame, and you can pick up energy from the voltage between the hot junction and the cold junction and actually drive things. And that's actually the radioactive battery they put in space probes. They put a radioactive source which is heating up the other end of the other end of the wires in cold space, and there you go. You can energize your spaceship and get it to take photographs and send back signals into Earth. So that's actually a battery. That's a radioactive battery putting in. It takes a little while to understand that. And to understand that, there's something which requires quantum mechanics, Fermi surfaces and things like that. So that's something obviously you don't get when you're first learning these things. It's not to be expected. You have this sort of childhood learning. It's knowing how to actually transition. And I don't think we as a human race, we've only had quantum mechanics for, well, less than 100 years now. Full-blown quantum mechanics, less than 100 years. So we still haven't learned how to actually teach our kids and move forward. But as I said, I'm going to talk about the zinc bicell batteries. Essentially, if you've ever had a battery and you are able to rub off the paint, you'll see it's got a zinc casing. It's like the old zinc toothpaste. In fact, it's basically a paste. They call it a dry cell battery, but it's a moist paste inside. Rather than calling it a dry cell, I would call it a paste battery rather than a liquid battery. A liquid battery would be like your car battery, which has got some liquid in it, and it's definitely not rechargeable. So let's go back in history to the time when the batteries were invented. So the first one, you have to get your mind around the idea of what people thought electricity was. So when they first had electricity around, they were able to make static electricity machines, and people were able to get voltage. And what happens is, because there was not electricity around the place driving machines and light bulbs and stuff like that, it was a scientific feat. You'd actually feel it contract your muscles, and the people thought what was coming out of the wire was something which contracted muscles. And enter the Galvani from Bologna in Italy. It's a beautiful place to visit, and you can actually, I think, still see his original laboratories, the University of Bologna. Bologna's a fantastic place. It's a place full straight from the Renaissance, and each suburb has a tower in it. So it's a city full of these. So Galvani was your typical, I suppose, mad scientist cutting open frog's eggs. And he hooked up frog's eggs one night, and a lightning struck, similar to the Frankenstein's movie. And when the lightning struck, the electricity went through the lab, and the frog's legs twitched, and eventually he continued his work and got in some cheaper wires, of different wires, and put different types of metals together with his frog's legs. And when he put the different wires together, he could make them twitch. So what he found is some had some theory that the animal electricity, which is what everyone thought it was, because it's a something which made your arms twitch, he thought that was it. And then he had a famous, well, we don't know about how famous this was, but he had a scientific dispute with another Italian called Volta, and he made his famous pile out of a pile of metal being copper, copper, zinc, copper, zinc, copper, zinc, copper, zinc. And in between the copper and zinc used to be some cheesecloth, which he'd add moistened and put some salts inside it. And and this is where things are divided. He, Volta, didn't actually understand his battery, the actual chemistry of his battery, and he thought it was just the potential difference of the copper. The copper It holds on to its electrons quite well, whereas zinc doesn't hold on to its electrons as well. So zinc likes to push its electrons away. Copper likes being a metal, whereas zinc likes being a salt, so to speak. Don't know how to explain it all that well. And there's lots of interesting things as you read through the histories. There were famous people like Faraday, went on a European tour with his Lord Davy, and Faraday visited Ampère and Volta. It's pretty amazing that let's go on a tour of Europe and visit the one scientist called Ampère and another scientist called Volta. But Volta himself really didn't really understand what's going on. And that misunderstanding has actually been taught through schools and ever more. And so this is an idea that I'd like to discuss, that the important aspect is in the there is a chemical reaction, and the electrons flow out of the zinc. So zinc's a metal with a lower ionization energy, so the electrons are not held in as strongly as it is held in with copper, and so the zinc electrons take flight. They go round through the circuit, and the electrons themselves combine with the hydrogen in the salts and form into hydrogen gas and take flight. So there's actually production in these zinc cells that you have in your batteries. There's a production of hydrogen gas, and the hydrogen gas flies the electrons away. So a picture of it would be a I have for you is if you can imagine the electrons taking flight from the zinc, which is the outer bottom case, you touch the case, electrons take flight from that, go all the way around, go back through in your Volta had copper. We now use copper's too expensive. We just use carbon. It's just any sort of conductor which doesn't react. And on the surface of this carbon, for us, the carbon battery, the central tube is carbon. On the surface, hydrogen gas is produced. So those electrons take flight from the zinc, go all around through the circuit, and then when they finally reach the paste, the internal paste, they turn into hydrogen gas, and so the electrons then take flight and fly into the room in terms of hydrogen gas. So the electricity from your battery actually leaks out, and it's not stored back in the battery. This is the most incredible thing. The electricity goes around through your light bulb into your hydrogen gas, and those electrons which have gone through your battery actually don't go back into the battery. Well, they go back into the battery, but once they're going back into the battery, they turn into... They get onto a hydrogen ion, turn into hydrogen gas, and float into the room. Isn't that an incredible story? So a version of that I would like to picture is a magician with doves in a box, and the doves crawl underneath. He's on the stage, the doves crawl underneath the stage, through a tube, all around the tube, back into the magician's hand. The magician lets the doves fly into the room, and if you have the right picture, you can actually see those doves doing it. This is the magic. We really can't see how this is done. All we know is that something is mysteriously moving, and there's this magic trick. And so what is it's actually quite a brilliant, beautiful thing. I'll come back, and this is worth getting it correct. So for me, I don't know whether you've been taught incorrectly. I've been taught incorrectly in the past. And that nature of misconception is a very deep nature of misconception. It's a pretty amazing story overall, to see it in so many different aspects of it. And the misconception was by Volta. Volta missed the fact that he was producing hydrogen gas, and then because we don't want to say that, we've taught generations of people incorrectly about this, and it's this beautiful thing, you know, what happens with the electrons. You can actually see what's going on. So I hope this has been informative. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.